fork up to his mouth and took a bite out of the apple. The rest of the table looked back at Downey, and there were one or two chuckles. The young man's brow furrowed. Assault having failed, he was forced to try scathing wit, which he did not have. "You really are a skag, dog botherer," he said. "Yes, Downey," said the reader levelly, his eyes still intent on the page. "When are you going to pass some decent exams, dog botherer?" "I really couldn't say, Downey." "Never killed anyone, right, dog botherer?" "Probably not, Downey." The reader turned another page. That little sound infuriated Downey even more. "What's that you're reading?" he snapped. "Robertson, show me what the dog botherer is reading, will you? Come on, pass it up." The boy next to the one currently known as Dog Botherer snatched the book off the stand and threw it along the length of the table. The reader sighed and sat back as Downey gave the pages a cursory flick. "Well, look here, you fellows," he said. "Dog Botherer is reading a picture book." He held it open. "Colour it in yourself with your paints or crayons, did you, Dog Botherer?" The former reader stared up at the ceiling. "No, Downey. It was hand-coloured to his instructions by Miss Amelia Jane, the sister of Lord Winstanley Greville Pipe, the author. It says so on the frontispiece, you will note." "And here's a lovely picture of a tiger," Downey ploughed on. "Why are you looking at pictures, dog botherer?" "Because Lord Winstanley has some interesting theories on the art of concealment, Downey," said the reader. "Ha! Black and orange tiger in green trees," said Downey, turning the pages roughly. "Big red ape in green forest. Black and white zebra in yellow grass. What's this, a manual on how not to do it?" Again there was a round of chuckles, but they were forced. Downey had friends because he was big and rich, but sometimes he was embarrassing to have around. "As a matter of fact, Lord Winstanley also has an interesting point to make on the dangers of intuitive..." "This is a guild book, Dog Botherer?" Downey demanded. "No, Downey. It was privately engraved some years ago, and I succeeded in tracing a copy in..." Downey's hand shot out. The book whirled away, causing a table full of younger boys to scatter, and landed at the back of the fireplace. The diners on the top tables looked round, and then turned back in disinterest. Flames licked up. For a moment, the tiger burned brightly. "Rare book, was it?" said Downey, grinning. "I think it may now be said to be non-existent," said the one known as Dog Botherer. "That was the only extant copy. Even the engraved plates have been melted down." "Don't you ever get upset, Dog Botherer." "Oh, yes, Downey," said the reader. He pushed his chair back and stood up. "And now, I believe, I will have an early night." He nodded at the table. "Good evening, Downey. Gentlemen." "You're a skag, veterinari." "Just as you say, Downey." Vimes thought better when his feet were moving. The mere activity calmed him down and shook his thoughts into order. Apart from the curfew and manning the gates, the night watch didn't do a lot. This was partly because they were incompetent, and partly because no one expected them to be anything else. They walked the streets slowly, giving anyone dangerous enough time to saunter away or melt into the shadows, and then rang the bell to announce to a sleeping world, or at any rate to a world that had been asleep, the fact that all was, despite appearances, well. They also rounded up the quieter sort of drunk and the more docile kinds of stray cattle. "They think I'm a spy for Winder," thought Vimes. "Spying on the Treacle Mine Road watch. It's like spying on dough." Vimes had flatly refused to carry a bell. Young Sam had acquired a lighter one, but out of deference to Vimes's crisply expressed wishes, kept the clapper muffled with a duster. "Is the wagon going out tonight, Sarge?" said young Sam, as the twilight faded towards night. "Yeah, Colon and Waddy are on it." "Taking people to Cable Street?" "No," said Vimes. "I told them to take everyone to the watch house, and Snouty'll fine them half a dollar, and take their name and address. Perhaps we'll have a raffle." "We'll get into trouble, Sarge." "The curfew's just to frighten people. It doesn't mean much." "Our mum says there's going to be trouble soon," said Sam. "She heard it in the fish shop. Everyone says it's going to be Snapcase at the palace. He listens to the people."
"Yeah, right," said Vimes. "And I listen to the thunder, but I don't do anything about it."
"Our mum says everyone will have a voice in the city when Snapcase..."